It is the morning show. I'm Glenn Mobergen for Kate Archer Kent. The closure of Kimberly-Clark's historic mills in Neenah and Fox Crossing has hit those communities hard. 600 people will soon be out of work, and political leaders are scrambling to find answers. Governor Walker has a plan to reduce the company's tax burden. The Democrats have a plan to help the company modernize its machinery and change the products that it produces on that machinery. And no one knows if either of those plans will make a difference. Later in the show, we'll be talking with the mayor of Neenah, Dean Cawford, who's a former Republican state representative. And we'll be talking with the Outagamie County Executive, Tom Nelson, who's a former Democratic Party state representative. We'll see if they can find some areas of agreement. But first, to fill us in on the details, we are joined by my friend and colleague, Patty Murray, Wisconsin Public Radio's reporter in Green Bay. She's been covering the Kimberly-Clark story. And we do want to hear from you as well. What's your reaction to Kimberly-Clark's plans to close those two Fox Valley facilities? Do you happen to work at one of those plants or another paper company that laid off workers? What's it like for you and your families? You can give us a call at 1-800-642-1234. That's 1-800-642-1234. Or you can email us at ideas@wpr.org, or you can tweet us at WPR Mornings. Well, Patty, thanks for joining us this morning.
Well, good morning, Glenn.
Well, last week, Kimberly-Clark came out and said it plans to close those two facilities in the Fox Valley. Give us an overview of all of that and what it means to the people in those communities.
Well, it means a lot to at least 600 families. That's the number of jobs that will be eliminated. And when something like that happens, you know, there's that ripple effect in the community. People who own smaller businesses that supply Kimberly-Clark, they would be affected. And, you know, all the way down to the local cafe where workers won't be coming in for lunch anymore. And the two plants make, I believe both plants make what is used in things like adult diapers, but it's called non-wovens. And apparently Kimberly-Clark says there is a declining demand for those types of products.
Well, are these closures cast in stone? Is this something that's definitely going to happen? Because it seems like the governor and the Democrats think that they might have a way to stop it.
Well, that's what these politicians are hoping, and I don't know if Kimberly-Clark is willing to listen to them, to consider some of these ideas that have been floated.
Well, Kimberly-Clark has pretty deep roots in the Fox Valley area. Give us a brief history of the company's footprint.
Yeah, founded in the Fox Valley in 1872, so we're going back a while here. And the Fox Valley really identifies with papermaking. It's nicknamed the Paper Valley. And it's long been seen as one of the nation's, if not the world's, preeminent manufacturers of paper products. So it has very deep roots.
And it runs through Kaukauna, Appleton, Neenah, Menasha, and Oshkosh. What kind of products does Kimberly-Clark make?
Well, like I mentioned before, the non-wovens are a big thing in the Fox Valley anyway. But the company as a whole makes a whole range of paper products, you name it. I mean,
any brand names people would be familiar with?
Huggies, things like that.
Kleenex
Right. Right, Kleenex. Yeah, and they also make paper that's used in things like textbooks. So again, as people, you know, they're using tablets for their textbooks these days. So I would imagine there's a lesser demand for paper used in books.
Well, I think the demand for Kleenex will go on forever, particularly during flu season. But Governor Walker this week introduced a plan to increase tax credits to Kimberly-Clark to keep those two plants open. It sounds very similar to the Foxconn deal. What exactly is he proposing?
Well, he was proposing taking a tax credit that stands at 7% right now. That's a job creation and retention tax credit that companies can get from the state. And he was proposing bumping that up to 17% if Kimberly-Clark would keep those jobs, so they get a larger tax credit. And that is similar to what the state legislature approved for Foxconn when that deal was going through the Capitol. And that company is pledging to create 13,000 jobs. And Walker said, you know, he just wants, whatever deal is passed, he just wants hard numbers on how many jobs will be saved.
And state Democrats have their own plan. It's been called the Papermakers Fund, which focuses more on the broader paper industry than Kimberly-Clark itself. What exactly would their plan do?
That plan would amount to $60 million, and it would create two separate funds, $30 million to help factories retrofit their machines. So say you're making that paper that's used in textbooks now, you know, and there's less demand for that. The company could go to this fund, this Papermakers Fund, and get money to help retrofit their plant to make something like what they call brown paper. Brown paper is used in cardboard boxes. What are cardboard boxes used for? Everything these days with Amazon. Everybody's buying things online. So there's that part of the fund. And then the second part would be that companies could get money to help make their plants more energy efficient.
Okay, very good. So they're modernizing the machines, and they're also changing them so that they would make different products.
Yeah, exactly. And it would be a $60 million fund, and I'm sure Tom Nelson will have a lot to say about that when you have him on. But they're saying, you know, we gave a huge incentive package to Foxconn, billions and billions of dollars. And, you know, why can't we, and when I say we, I mean lawmakers, give money to this longstanding industry right here in Wisconsin? And the money wouldn't take anything away from the Foxconn deal. This would be a standalone fund, a separate $60 million.
How is the governor reacting to this proposal from the Democrats? Is he open to it or is he skeptical?
I asked him about it earlier this week, on Monday, I think it was, and he seemed, you know, a little open to it. But again, like I said he wants any money potentially given to these businesses, that they would have to be held to job creation, a specific number of jobs.
And here's the mirror question for you. How are Governor Walker's Democratic Party challengers reacting to his idea and the Republican ideas to save Kimberly-Clark?
Well, I know Malin Mitchell. He is a Democrat running for governor, and he's open to it. He seemed to be supportive of it. There are so many Democrats, I guess, in the running. I haven't track down exactly how each and every one of them feels about it.
And after the news, we are going to be talking with a couple of former state lawmakers. That's Nina Mayer Dean Crawford, who's a Republican, and Outagamie County Executive Tom Nelson, a Democrat. You've already touched on Tom, but how are local officials responding to all of these competing efforts by the state? And we've only got about 20 seconds here, Patty.
I don't know if people have hit crisis mode yet, but, you know, the writing might be on the wall here. I don't know. If time will tell if it's too late for any of these proposals to do any good, at least for Kimberly-Clark.
Well, I timed this out wrong. We actually have about another minute. Is there anything that you can think of right now that the people in the Fox Valley area, how do they feel about all of this? Do they have any hope for the future of papermaking in their area?
You know, I talked to a man, Chris Britton, who has worked at Kimberly-Clark, he said, for 29 years at one of the plants that will be affected, the one in Neenah, and he's a machine manager. And he said, you know what, I guess I'll be okay, but I'm just really concerned about the young people. He was like, you get to the point where, oh, my gosh, I got a job at the mill. That's kind of, you know, my dad, my grandpa had a job at the mill. I got my job at the mill. Well, now you're losing your job at the mill, and it's just really, really disheartening.
And these are good-paying jobs. You know,
yes.
You can't get the same same pay at a fast food place or at Walmart.
Absolutely not.
Patty, thanks so much for joining us. We really appreciate it. Patty Murray is Wisconsin Public Radio's regional reporter in Green Bay. It is The Morning Show. I'm Glenn Mobergen for Kate Archer Kent, and we will be talking about the Kimberly-Clark plant closures and the ideas offered by Governor Walker in more detail when we return. We'll be joined by Nina Mayer, Dean Coffert, he's a Republican, and Outagamie County Executive Tom Nelson, a Democrat. We'll see if they can come to any agreement on what to do next. And we'll take your phone calls and comments. But first, this news. It is The Morning Show. I'm Glenn Mobergen for Kate Archer Kent. We are talking about the announced closures of the Kimberly-Clark Mills in Neenah and Fox Crossing, which would put 600 people out of work. Governor Walker has a proposal to cut the company's tax burden. The Democrats have a proposal to help the company retool and modernize its paper machines. Our guests for the rest of the show are Dean Coffert, the mayor of Neenah, and a former Republican state representative, and Tom Nelson, the Outagamie County executive. He's also a former Democratic state representative and an assembly majority leader. So we want to hear from you, and I imagine, especially if you live in the Fox Valley, you've got opinions about this. What's your reaction to Kimberly-Clark's plans to close those two Fox Valley facilities? Do you happen to work at one of those plants or another paper company that laid off workers? Should Wisconsin be offering tax credits to companies to keep the jobs in the state? And what about setting money aside to help factories retrofit to make more desirable paper and energy-efficient upgrades? Give us a call at 1-800-642-1234. That's 1-800-642-1234. You can email us at ideas@wpr.org, or you can tweet us at WPR Mornings. Dean Coffert and Tom Nelson, thanks so much for being with us this morning.
Good to be on the show.
Thanks for having me.
Well, since you're both administrators, let's start off by talking about how important the paper industry is to your respective areas. Democratic State Senator Dave Hansen said on Monday that he's worried about the 600 people who could be laid off by Kimberly-Clark if the company goes ahead and closes those two facilities. Let's listen to him.
The closing of these mills and the resulting loss of jobs is especially troubling. Paper industry jobs are some of the best in Wisconsin.
Dean Coffert, you go first. What do you think of Senator Hansen's concerns?
Well, you know, there's no doubt. It's a good job, and it hits you in the gut when you hear that a mill or business, any business in your area, is closing. But these are jobs that have been around here for a very long time. Kimberly-Clark started here in Neenah. This is kind of the birthplace of Kimberly-Clark, the manufacturing of these products. And it's tough to replace these types of jobs. And, you know, but the marketplace is changing, and there's so much competition. It's becoming very, very difficult for a lot of these companies to compete. We in Neenah, we've lost Bergstrom Paper, Appleton Quoted, Appian. We've lost a couple in Menasha. And so we've seen our share of downsizing of the paper industry, and it's pretty distressing. It hits an area hard. It hits families. These are hardworking, skilled, trained workers, and so it's not a positive sign.
And Tom Nelson, as the Outagamie County Executive, perhaps you could comment on exactly how important the paper industry is to the county and the entire Fox Valley region.
I mean, this is the Fox Valley. It's also known as the Paper Valley, and it's not by coincidence. It's not by accident. This is the industry that built the Fox Valley. I can't think of another industry that is more crucial to the economic success of Outagamie County than the paper industry. You know, Dean talked about how these are good-paying jobs, and he's exactly right. Manufacturing jobs, you know, typically support several other jobs in the community because it brings new revenue, new money into that community. But paper jobs are especially good because they pay well. And in fact, Appleton coated in combined locks in Outagamie County, which was the first paper mill last year to have trouble. The average wage there is about $24, $25 an hour. At that level, those kind of paper jobs are supporting not just, you know, one or two other jobs in the community, but upwards to five other jobs in the community. So since September, Winnebago County, Outagamie County, the Fox Valley, you know, the job toll is up to about 1,400 lost paper jobs. So it's instructive to look at this, not just those 1,400 jobs alone, but the other 5-to-1 job match. So we're not just talking about 1,400 jobs. We're actually talking about 8,400 jobs, up to 8,400 jobs that have been directly or indirectly affected by these layoffs and closures. And when you're talking about 8,400 jobs, you're talking about an economic crisis for which you know, reaches into virtually every single household and family in this area.
Well, Governor Walker says he wants to increase job retention credits to Kimberly-Clark from 7% to 17%. That's the same deal that the state made with Foxconn in southeastern Wisconsin. He also said yesterday that the state could extend that offer to other paper companies to prevent significant job losses. Let's hear what he had to say earlier this week in Green Bay.
We're not going to just give out money unless we have some guarantees that whether it be the papermaking industry or anybody else, that that's going to lead to retaining and growing jobs in the state.
Now, Tom Nelson, we'll get to the Democrats' ideas in a little bit, but do you think there's any validity to Governor Walker's approach, in your opinion?
Well, I think what the correct approach here, because this is not a one-off, this began before Kimberly-Clark. It started with Appleton coated back in September. The only solution and strategy is an industry-wide strategy. If this was just one company like Kimberly-Clark, maybe that would make sense, though. But we need to have a strategy, and we need to have a solution that addresses not just one paper mill, but all the mills that have been affected, and then also to have a strategy that will address this potential problem in the future.
And Dean Coffert, do you think the governor's proposal would be enough to stem the tide and maybe keep Kimberly-Clark in the Fox Valley and have its executives change their mind about closing those plants down?
True. Well, I think it's a good start. And I put out a thing yesterday thanking the governor, because you got to stop the bleedings at some point. And then you got to look at a comprehensive plan. And then I wake up this morning, I hear the governor talking about maybe an all-encompassing plan down the road. And I know Tom was part of a group the other day that is talking about a bigger picture plan. And so, you know, I give credit to people who are thinking outside the box. And the governor, you know, when him and I talked hours after we had heard this decision was being made, you know, I said, you know, I talked to him. I was in the legislature when the legislature, I believe, was under Governor Doyle. Mercury Marine was going to leave Fond du Lac, and we came up with a package of job retention package and helped along with the county. And you know, at that point, it was both parties, my recollection is good, both parties said, yeah, this is a good idea. We need to retain these jobs. You know, retention of jobs is not as sexy as bringing in 110 new jobs somewhere or from Illinois. You know, that's a great press release and everything. And what the legislature and the governor is doing to try and attract new jobs coming to Wisconsin, I think, is great. But I just believe there needs to be a bigger focus by everyone on retaining the jobs that we got, finding out ways to keep these jobs that, you know, like Tom said, these are family-supporting jobs. And I think the taxpayers are willing to use a little bit of their income, their dollars that they send to the state for economic development type job retention programs.
Well, it's the morning show. I'm Glenn Moberg in for Kate Archer Kent. We're talking this morning about the announced closures of the Kimberly-Clark mills in Neenah and Fox Crossing, which would put 600 people out of work. If you just joined us, our guests are Dean Coffert. He's the mayor of Neenah and a former Republican state representative. And Tom Nelson, the Outagamie County executive. He's a former Democratic state representative and assembly majority leader. We really want you to weigh in on this. What's your reaction to Kimberly-Clark's plans to close those two Fox Valley facilities? We particularly want to hear from you. If you happen to work at one of those plants or another paper company that laid off workers, what do you think of the idea? Should Wisconsin be offering tax credits to companies to keep their jobs in the state? And what about setting money aside to help factories retrofit to make more desirable paper and energy-efficient upgrades? We've got wide-open phone lines right now. You can join the conversation at 1-800-642-1234. That's 1-800-642-1234. You can email us at ideas@wpr.org, or you can tweet us at WPR Mornings. Dean, you said in a news release that job retention is as important to the region as bringing new companies in like Foxconn. Republican state representative, a state senator and Senate President Roger Roth of Appleton echoed that sentiment on WBAY-TV in Green Bay on Monday.
The cost won't be as large as what Foxconn was there. You were putting those incentives out for 13,000 direct jobs. Here we're talking about retaining 600 jobs, but the terms are the same. We want to make sure that everybody knows that not only are we working to expand and grow and bring other businesses here, we're committed to making sure we protect the jobs that we have.
So, Dean Crawford, it seems like kind of an obvious point. You don't want anybody out of work, but explain to us why you feel so strongly about job retention.
Well, as mayor, I'm finding out it's a little bit different than, you know, being a legislator. And those companies that are in your, you know, within your confines of your community and your region, you want to pay attention to them. And so, you know, it was 6 months ago when I talked to my community development director and said, you know what? We have to start making sure we're getting out of the office. We're going to visit these people. We're going to see the companies within our district to chat with them and just see, are things going okay? Is there anything we can do as a local municipal government to help you do things better? To, you know, some companies are a little bit more willing to share information, but, you know, is there you're not out looking for a new site to expand. Because many times you don't find out these things until it's too late. We had a company that, you know, told us that they were considering, you know, they needed more space, but they didn't tell us in time. And so they were out looking, and otherwise we could have put together a package or we could have helped them. We could have found a site. So you have to stay in tune with the local companies in your district and make sure that they have all the necessary infrastructure that they need to continue to, you know, turn a profit and maybe expand and those types of things. So job retention is just so darn important in this day and age when, you know, the economy's changing, the marketplace is changing, you know, Amazon.com, all these places, you know, are selling generic diapers and things like that for a whole heck of a lot less. And so we got to change to make sure that we're retaining these jobs. And as a mayor, there's only so much local government can do, but we provide the infrastructure and the core services. And so I think the state needs to do a better job of developing programs. And as Senator Ross said, it's going to be cheaper to keep the jobs here than it is to try and bring in new jobs from out of other states, because everyone's competing for those jobs. And everyone's offering dangling packages in front of them. So this is going to be a much more cost-efficient way to keep these jobs in your community.
And Tom Nelson, Democrats also came out with a plan that they call the Papermakers Fund, aimed at the paper industry and not a specific company. It creates two incentive funds totaling $60 million. One would help factories retrofit to make brown paper, which is used in cardboard boxes and heavily in demand in this area of online services and online ordering of products. The other would help mills become more energy efficient. Why do you think that's something that we need to do?
Well, first of all, that was based off an idea that I started pitching back in November or so. I wrote a letter to the governor creating the Papermaker Fund. So one half of that legislation was an idea that I came up talking to some folks here. And actually, you had talked about, you know, what gave us this idea. Appleton Coated, which again was the first mill that was affected last September, the challenge that they were facing is that they have a history mainly of doing white paper grades. And of course, that is the sector of a paper industry, of the paper industry, that has had a lot of challenges. And what they need to do and what they want to do is they want to make a transition to a more higher demand product, and that is switching from white grades to brown grades. The thought with that is you know, one of the fastest growing companies in the country is Amazon. And this is an example how the paper industry, which is a traditional industry, can work hand in hand and thrive hand in hand with a company like Amazon. What is Amazon? Basically, the essential product of Amazon is it's a brown paper box with stuff inside, outside your front stoop. So there is enormous potential. And what a company like Appleton Coding needs to do is they're in a position where they just simply need some help to be able to make the transition, to make, you know, to retrofit their equipment, to make the kind of capital investment to make the transition from white grades to brown grades. So that's that was kind of the genesis of that idea. And last Monday, a number of legislators put that together and proposed that in a bill form, as well as another aspect. And that, again, goes to an industry-wide solution and not just a one-off targeting one particular company. I have to say that I definitely agree with Mayor Coffer that we need to work off of what our comparative advantage is. And we know that the paper industry is a homegrown industry for generations. It has provided good-paying, family-supporting jobs. And I think our focus ought to be on retaining and building off that comparative advantage, you know, and making sure that those kind of jobs here are here for generations to come.
Let's go to the phones. We have Jimmy in Valley Junction. Jimmy, you're on the morning show with Dean Coffert and Tom Nelson.
Morning. I'm just concerned that we're subsidizing with taxpayer money profitable corporations. I think Kimberly-Clark said it is not going bankrupt anytime soon. And on the west side of the state, we can't get a nickel to fix our roads, but here we're subsidizing with taxpayer money giant corporations that are very profitable, like Foxconn and now Kimberly-Clark. So, I mean, why don't we just make them state jobs and take it over, and we can have the profits to put back in the state treasury? And I'll take my comments off the air.
All right. Thanks, Jimmy. And we're going to give each of you about 30 seconds for this. Dean Coffert, you go first.
Well, there's no doubt the world is changing. States around the country are putting out packages to try and recruit companies to come. And that's unfortunately the way that that we're headed. And a lot of these companies seek ways to see what the government is going to offer, how they're going to help, how they're going to get, you know, how bad do they want these jobs. But with Foxconn, you know, the impact is going to be much greater than the tax breaks. And it's kind of the same way with Kimberly-Clark. Tom talked about, you know, the trickle down to other companies, the supply chain. I mean, there is such a big impact that you can more than make up for any of these tax breaks.
Tom Nelson, let's have you weigh in very quickly.
Sure. I think the caller brings a very good question, of course, though. I think it goes down to two different strategies. I don't think that these paper companies are asking for a handout. They're asking for a helping hand. And what we need from leaders in Madison is the wisdom to know the difference. We know that this is a very competitive industry. There are challenges around the country, globally, and so forth. And while I can't speak to the Kimberly-Clark situation in particular, how they got to this point, though, but I'm intimately aware of what has happened to the three paper mills in Outagamie County, especially Appleton Coated. And by the way, the three companies in Outagamie County, those are all locally owned companies, U.S. Paper Converters, Appveon, and Appleton.
Tom, you got to hold that thought. We'll pick up on it on the other end of the news break. We're talking to Tom Nelson, the Outagamie County executive, Dean Coffert, the mayor of Nina, about the closure of the Kimberly-Clark paper mills. I'm Glenn Moberg, in for Kate Archer-Kent. We'll have more after this news. And we are talking about the closure of the plant mills, the Kimberly-Clark mills in the Fox Valley area, with Tom Nelson. He's the Outagamie County Executive. He's a former Democratic State Representative and an Assembly Majority Leader. And Dean Coffert, the mayor of Nina and a former Republican State Representative. I'm Glenn Moberg, in for Kate Archer-Kent. Alma in Madison called, and she says the government at all levels should support these jobs by buying the products. She says the state and other agencies purchase enormous amounts of paper products. She says buying products from companies in the state helps companies retain jobs for local people. We also heard from Frank from northern Wisconsin. He says he's hearing Republicans advocate for incentive packages, but they also say government should stay out of the free market. Can they really have it both ways? Let's go to Scott in Green Bay, who I think has a perspective similar to Frank from northern Wisconsin.
Yeah, thank you for taking my call. I think that any tax dollars should go towards helping the workers purchase the company for themselves, also to help retrofit the factories to produce tree-free paper made from maybe industrial hemp, that type of thing. That's it. Thank you.
All right. Thanks so much. Dean Coffert, let's start with you, the Republican. You're advocating for incentive packages, but you also say Republicans do that government should stay out of the free market. Can you really have it both ways?
Well, I've answered that question. And, yeah, I mean, being in government, sometimes you're consistently inconsistent. But, you know, right now there is I talked about the marketplace, I talked about the economy, and we have a responsibility, I think, to do what we can, and offering incentive packages is the way we're going to save these jobs, and we got to tie them to jobs. It's really important that any incentive package, years ago when I was first in the legislature in the 90s, we were giving out incentive package, training grants, things like that, but we wouldn't tie them to anything. And then, you know, there was some criticism about that, so the legislature, Republicans and Democrats, tied the incentives to jobs. And that's the way that you make this work. You don't just give away free money and free tax dollars. You tie them to jobs because those jobs are going to come back and pay off and pay the bills and hopefully create more revenue than the state actually puts in and going to help, you know, get the economy here rolling. And the Democrats, and I, you know, I'm not a partisan guy anymore because I'm a mayor, but you know, they didn't. I don't know all the nuances about Foxconn, but hardly any Democrats supported Foxconn. But now, up here in the Valley, and I applaud Tom and them for looking at different ways to help, but they're asking for incentives, so they're asking for the same type of programs that they say they won't support for Foxconn. So we got to get on the same page here.
And Tom Nelson, let's let you respond. If you think incentives and money is good for Kimberly-Clark, why isn't it good for Foxconn?
Okay, well, first of all, the Foxconn example is completely different. It's like nothing we've done before. I mean, this is the largest subsidy given to a foreign corporation in the history of this state. You know, the governor has talked about how he wants to give the same deal to Kimberly-Clark as he's given to Foxconn. Now, he's talked about increasing the per-job credit from 7% to 17%. But there's also the fact that the per-job allocation for Foxconn is like $200,000. We found that out last week. Now, if you were to apply that to the Kimberly-Clark situation, right, you're looking at there's 500 jobs there plus 100 jobs at the other facility. That's 600 jobs in total. If you were to take the exact same deal that the state has given to Foxconn, $200,000 per job, you'd be talking about $120 million just to Kimberly-Clark. What we're talking about is an industry-wide strategy, a papermaker fund, $30 million, or 1% of Foxconn, that can help different mills and companies that happen to come upon tough times that are at a precarious point in their company's history that need to make a transition to a different sector of the paper industry. Now, Scott talked about, you know, helping companies become, I think he said, employee-owned. That's a really good point. In fact, two of the three mills here in Ottawa County that have been affected by layoffs or closures, two of the three are, in fact, employee-owned, Aptheon and Appleton Coated. So that's all the more reason to give them support. I mean, these folks are not asking for a handout. They're looking for a helping hand. And I think there's a big difference between that strategy and the Foxconn strategy.
Let's go to Mary in La Crosse. Mary, you're on the morning show with Tom Nelson and Dean Coffert.
Thank you. I'm from Central Iowa. I haven't lived there for over 50 years, but I saw what happened to Newton, Iowa, when the Maytag Appliance Company pulled out and built new factories in one of the Carolinas, and it absolutely devastated the town of Newton, which was a wonderful going community, supplied jobs for people in that whole Central Iowa area there. I know they tried to bring in something to do with the windmill situation, and that didn't work out, and I haven't kept up since then. But I support whatever we can do to keep these jobs and keep these families in Wisconsin and keep them in their same area, retool, do what needs to be done. But I think we should, as good citizens of the state, I think we should help.
Mary, thanks so much for the phone call. And I'm going to ask Dean and Tom, both of you, for your reactions. But specifically, I want to know if this can be, instead of an either-or, a both-and. Dean Coffert, you like what Governor Walker is doing. Do you also like Tom Nelson's idea of a papermaker's fund? Do you think there's some merit to that?
Well, I like the concept of a comprehensive approach. I know that right now the governor is, you know, kind of said, he agreed with me and said, let's stop the bleeding and let's, you know, Kimberly Clark is just so important. And it's not that it's so more important than Appleton or the Appian employees and that, but we've seen too much of this. And at some point you got to say enough is enough. So the governor has stepped up to the plate, Roger Roth, and the legislators will now hopefully try and, you know, get this bill passed, but it's going to take more than that.
Dean, look, I'm not asking you about the governor. I know you support that. Do you support Tom Nelson's idea for a papermaker's fund?
Sure. I was going to get to that. And it's the same thing with Tom and that group's idea of a comprehensive plan. And I talked to Roger in that and said, we have to look at the big picture. We have to look at the industry. The paper industry is too big to fail here in Wisconsin. And so, you know, the concept of looking industry-wide, I think, is a good idea and something that the legislature should do as soon as they possibly can.
And Tom Nelson, if the legislature is willing to move forward and the governor supports your papermaker's fund, do you also think there's merit in the governor's idea and the Republican idea of tax relief for these companies?
Well, first of all, I'm the Outagamie County executive, so I would be hard-pressed to support a package or a proposal that just singles out one of those companies and does not also help the paper companies in Outagamie County. I want to go back to what Mary talked about, her comments about, you know, supporting industry in her hometown in Iowa. You know, Mayor Coffert, he is Mr. Nina, grew up in Nina, has served in the legislature there for 24 years, has been mayor for a couple of years. And I'm from Little Chute originally. And I think the reason why Dean and I are so passionate about this issue is it really comes down to not just an economic question, although that is very, very important, though, but it also comes down to a cultural issue as well. I mean, paper's who we are. It's in our DNA. It is the story of the Paper Valley. I grew up on Carolyn Drive in Little Chute, and on that block, virtually every household had a mom or dad who worked in the paper mill. My dad, a Lutheran pastor, didn't work in the paper mill, neither did my mom, but I learned at a very, very young age just how important these jobs were, the kind of difference it made for my friends on that block. And, you know, I told myself many, many years ago that if I was ever in a position to help out that industry, to make sure that there's good-paying jobs for this generation and future generations, I would do all I could to help save those jobs and save the industry. And that is why I have spent so much time on this matter for the last 5 months, why I have proposed the Papermaker Fund, which would be an industry-wide strategy. And I think in this case, it's the best solution.
We've got one final question for you, and I suspect we don't know the answer to it. How hopeful are you that these two Kimberly-Clark plants will remain open and these 600 jobs will be saved? We'll go to Tom again this time, and then Dean, we'll go back to you for the last word.
Well, I'm very hopeful. And the reason why I said that was throughout this whole ordeal, I've been optimistic. When Appleton Coded went into receivership, we had maybe a 1% chance of reopening that mill. Receivership is a brutal version of bankruptcy. It is almost a death sentence. I joined with the steelworkers and the combined Locks Village president, and I objected to that sale. We didn't have much chance with success, but in the infinite wisdom of Judge Gill, he gave us a second chance. And so now that mill that was going to be shuttered, that could have been a scrap heap by Christmas time, is now running, albeit on a temporary basis. Those folks beat the odds. They still have a chance. So I'm hopeful. And I think we need to do all we can, not just for Kimberly-Clark, but we need to keep an eye on and support Appleton Coated, Appvion. I'm not sure about U.S. paper converters, but we need to be able to have an industry-wide approach because that's the only way that we're going to help those four mills and be able to secure our future for generations to come.
Dean Coffert, you've got the last word, and you've got about 30 seconds for it.
Thank you. I'm very optimistic. In discussions, I know that there's talks with Kimberly-Clark, with the unions, the labor representatives. The Cold Spring plant was built in 1998. It's modern. It's efficient. It's already had, I believe, a $19 million upgrade. The equipment in there is state-of-the-art, and the workers are skilled and trained. It's a very efficient mill, and in the non-woven mill, these people work hard. They make the company money. And so I'm holding out hope, and I truly believe that this has a chance. I know the bill has a very good chance of passing the legislature. And
we've got to stop it right there because we are completely out of time. Thank you both for joining us. Tom Nelson is the Outagamie County Executive, a former Democratic State Representative. Dean Coffert is the mayor of Neenah. This hour was produced by Bill Martins with on-air production by Keeley Boltina and technical direction by our executive producer, Michelle Johnson. Tomorrow at this time, we examine the possibility that Gerald Turner, a.k.a. the Halloween killer, will be released or committed. We'll talk about what goes into such decisions in our criminal justice system. I'm Glenn Moberg, in for Kate Archer Kent, and this is The Morning Show.